That's what I thought.
Hey, I'm pretty old, so it's been a long time. My mother was faithful, so from the time I was a little kid, I
have. Yeah, come on, that's good. And that's a great testimony. You want to model your life after somebody? Not a bad idea. Not a bad idea to model your life after Harvey and his mother, just like with Timothy. Timothy, it was your mom who knew the Lord first. And what a great testimony that is. People watch us give, especially parents. They watch us, and it's done. God's been faithful to Harvey and Catherine their whole lives, and their children and their grandchildren. So it's still going. So children, we have history makers at the back door. They're anxious to go. I know, so y'all are released, you can go. Chris Hoffman is one of the men that helped teach History Makers. And if you want to help with children, talk to Katie Carillon. Yeah, Katie, raise your hand. She's back there. You can talk to Katie or you can talk to one of the pastors. We always need help. And it's really exciting. Like yesterday afternoon, I came by my office for something, and Chris was here in the building. He was practicing drums because he drummed this morning, and I could hear him. And then when I saw him in the hallway, Chris, he's so subdued. Like, you can't hear him most of the time. He was like, man, I get to teach kids tomorrow. I was like, cool. He was so excited. And I'm like, you're crazy. But it's good to be crazy. Crazy and happy, it's not a bad thing. Last 2 weeks, Tyler and Daniel have been sharing, and they shared on this. I'm not on. They're working on it. Relationship and results. There we go. That's what they both talked about in unique ways. It was really, really good. And I believe that it's something God's wanting to do. Like, what do you do when the results in your life aren't what you want them to be? Like, you know, that's God who makes it that way. I'm seeing Katie just had a baby, and we had lots of babies here. And I watch babies all the time, and it's amazing to me, those little things, before they can even do anything, they're hungry, they don't like it. And so they change their behavior to let us know they're hungry. It's an amazing miracle from God. I don't know if you mothers think that at 2 in the morning and 4 in the morning and 6 in the morning and 2 hours later. But it's true. It's like, that's beautiful. God set it up that way. But what do you do when your results aren't what you want? And that's what Tyler and Daniel did a great job of showing us. And I believe, I want to show you in Scripture. Like, I believe... This was taken during the Depression. The Dust Bowl, 1932, was a really hard time in the United States. There was a drought. The stock market crashed. There wasn't money available. There were no jobs. And literally, people were starving. Farms, they grew their own food in the 30s. You couldn't grow your own food. They didn't have water. There was a huge drought. And this family was a not unusual picture. Have you ever come to that place where you're at the end of your rope? They, in the Depression during the 30s, that was pretty common. And what do you do when the results in your life aren't the results that God's put in your heart? Because, you know, we're just like babies. Babies have this beautiful mechanism that tells us when they're hungry or dirty or want to manipulate their moms, whatever. You know, they just have this thing that's uncomfortable. And they get uncomfortable, and they let you know. And you know, the same thing's true for us. In my life, when something's uncomfortable, I know. Now look at it. I'm like, God, what do I do? What do I do if I'm in this cycle, and I go in this thing over and over again, and I'm like this lady with these children? I have responsibilities. She couldn't feed her kids. You know, but I believe during the 30s, they had this mass exodus from Oklahoma, which is where I was born, and from Arkansas and a lot of the states. And what you see here is a lot of people left the central part of the United States in the South and went to California because they knew they had to do something different. If they stayed there, they wouldn't survive. You see, and I believe that God set the world up this way. It's a beautiful thing. And what I want to look at today is, I want to look at a passage in John 15:5. And it's a great passage of Scripture. Actually, I put the answer down there. I'm telling you the answer to the question before the end of the message in case you fall asleep. Results. You look at your results you're having, whether it's personal, business, raising kids, relationships. Look at your results and then adjust. Make a change. Move to California. I'm kidding. Now everybody in California is moving to Arkansas. It's making it hard to buy land in Arkansas because they have so much money. And then you do that in relationship. The very foundation of this is our relationship with God. So you look at your results with God, you adjust with God, and then you repeat. And that's the very key to salvation, to life itself. And I believe we'll see it in God in the Scripture. So here's a Scripture I want to look at today. Great Scripture. This is in John 15. So what was happening? Jesus was getting ready. He was within a day of going to the cross. And he says, guys, I want to have a meal with you. And supernaturally, if y'all read the account of what how it happened, God prepared it, that somebody prepared it. It was amazing what happened. And he sits down with his apostles, with the disciples, and he has a meal with them in the upper room. And then he started talking. And the next three chapters of John, you have it recorded, what Jesus said. And you know, Jesus knew. The apostles, the disciples, they didn't want to admit it was true, but Jesus knew, this is my last day with you. I have something very important to say. You need to understand this. And then we have these verses recorded in the Scripture. And in John chapter 15, this is one of the things Jesus said. I am the vine. You're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And I believe in the very passage, and that passage and other, that Jesus is talking about relationship and results. It's so funny, Daniel, in this picture, he put a group of oranges because it's about fruit. Jesus said, guys, you can know where you're at, how you're going, what's happening by the fruit in your life will reveal. And the fruit is more than money. I'm glad Harvey mentioned that. It's not just about money when you give money. It's about life. And money is not the source of life. If it is, you're going to be terribly unhappy. Because you'll get to the end of your life, and I don't care if you have $1 billion, you'll find out it's not happiness. You see, there's more to life than that. And so I look at this, and in John 13 through 17, where Jesus is doing this, and when he did this, he painted a clear picture with agricultural terms, which a lot of us don't grow gardens. Y'all know, you learn so much when you grow gardens. Like last year, I had this great idea. Have you ever watched a YouTube video and thought that that would make your life so wonderful and you just would do it? Well, I do that sometimes, and I watched a YouTube video of a guy who raises blackberries, like, and sells them commercially. And they were the biggest, juiciest. It was the greatest plan for raising blackberries I've ever seen. And I'm like, so I'm watching this video, and I'm like, I'm going to do that. And so I had a bunch of blackberries growing wild in my garden. They're not wild blackberries. I just let them go, and they were crazy. So I said, I'm going to make a trellis, like a grapevine, like you grow grapes. And that's what he did. I'm going to make a trellis. I'm going to separate the blackberries 6 feet apart. And I'm going to train them to grow on the trellis. And they'll do it every year. And I'll have this amazing harvest of blackberries every year. So I spent hours, a little bit of money because I had most of the stuff, and a lot of work. And I made this beautiful place to grow my blackberries, probably as long as this room, right? And guess what happened? I planted them last August, which is not a good time to plant. It might have been September. It was late. But I transplanted them there. I dug them up. Friday and Thursday and Friday. It took me hours. They all died. I don't know why they died. I did it just, it was, I even got a tape measure and measured how to do them. So I do it exactly like the guy. Well, results, not good. But I'm talking to God while I'm doing this because I'm reading this and I'm studying about this. I'm like, God, okay, help me here. I don't know why my blackberries all died. And so I went and I dug them up and I'm redoing it, right? And when I dug them up, I discovered a secret. I am now a professional garden grower. I forgot that's got a name. Yeah, that's real. That's what I am now. Because guess why they died? Blackberries are made to grow like in the top 1 inch or 2 inches of soil. I planted them all 6 to 8 inches deep. I killed my blackberries. A couple of them I dug up. They were actually trying to get to the surface, but the poor little things just, they could only go like this far, and they were that far underground. And so I replanted them all shallow with good soil, and next, in 2 years, because it takes 2 years, I'm going to have amazing blackberries. You guys can all come over if you live that long. But isn't that cool how God does that? Bad results, looked at it in relationship with God, I adjusted. And now I'm going to have blackberries. Guys, this is the whole key to what Jesus is saying about. You see, I believe when Daniel said this last week, it was a big deal. The very foundation of the gospel is to look at results. What did Jesus say? I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you abide in me and I abide in you, you'll bear much fruit. Look at the results. And if you're not bearing the fruits you want, have a relationship with me and adjust. That's the whole message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And gets good news. It's good news. And I want to show you some parts of that now. So you look at results, you adjust, and you repeat. All in relationship with Him in every area of your life. Burn that into your heart. Now, the first thing, I want to look at that verse, I am. The first thing Jesus said was, I am. You know, that's the same word that when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, that he's met God in the desert, and God said, told him what to do. And Moses is like, well, who do I say sent me? And God said, tell them I am sent you. I am that I am. Same word Jesus said. Because the truth is, He is the great I am. When He says I am, He's saying more than just I'm me. He's saying I am. It's the same eternal, everlasting, the creator of all things, the power behind everything, the very air we breathe. He is, and I am is the very first thing. Moses needed to know who was sending him. You need to know who's sending you. Because who's sending you determines the power behind you. It makes a difference. When I walked into the place where you get your driver's license, DMV, right? When I walk into the DMV and I tell them that I'm the governor's son, they look at me differently. They usually dial 911 and say, there's a crazy guy here. Please, you got to come. No, it makes a difference who sends you. When the God of all gods and the King of all kings, the great I am, sends you, He sends you with the authority and power to accomplish the mission that He has for you. And guys, every single one of us were born with a created purpose and destiny in our life. And with somebody, our Father, backing us up. You see, God's sending us. We have a purpose. We have a destiny. And it starts right there. He does everything. He's flawless. He designed you, perfectly equipped you, and appointed you in the right direction to accomplish His purpose for you on earth. Every one of us. Jesus said, I am. I'm the vine. You are the branches. And you know what? You have a purpose and a destiny. So I looked at that word, I am, and I said, you know what? He's literally shaping us to become one. We were created to be one with Him. We were created to have a relationship with Him. You were created to never be lonely, to never be at the end of your rope, to never be. You were created to have the very life that Jesus Himself has. And that's who God made us to be. And God did it all. Then He said this. He said, I am the vine. You know that there's two kinds of vines. There's vines that just grow vines. Like, they're just vines. They trip you when you're trying to walk through the woods. They're horrible. They have no purpose. Nothing eats them. Nothing uses them. Then there's other vines that produce fruit. And Jesus, when He said that I'm the vine, He said I'm the vine that produces fruit. I'm not just a vine. I'm a vine that does something. And that's who our God is. Like, that's who we're connected with. The fruit producer, is His name's Jesus Christ. And then He said, you are the branches. Well, aren't you excited about being a branch? I mean, I went out into the wilderness this morning and got a couple of branches. They're both branches, right? And He said, we're branches. Every single person born is a branch. Well, you know what? What happens to this branch? Y'all can sort of tell. It's dayed. It's gone. You know what? It's not flexible. It'll never change. It's only fit for burning. Like, if you try to bend it to your will, it breaks every time. That's not a useful branch. Do you know that we get to decide what kind of branch we are? We get to decide. You know? It's like, you get to decide. Are you bendable? Are you pliable? Are you alive? Are you hooked up? That branch is dead because there's no vitality coming to it from the ground through the roots of the tree. Or are you like this branch? This branch is alive. It can bend and not break. You can form it to do what you want to with it. You see, we were created to be living branches that are bendable. You know what? Just because I failed at growing blackberries last year doesn't mean I have to fail this year. Do you know that we were created to overcome obstacles? You were created. I was created to bring God's kingdom into the world we live in. Not to live in it and be stagnant. The devil wants to tell you nothing will ever change. The devil wants to tell you the news, the media, and everybody's in control, but not you. You can't change anything. That's not what Jesus Christ says. He says you were created with a purpose and a destiny, that you're a branch and you're not a dead one. So you know what? Today might be a good day to make a decision to change, to adjust your life, to reconnect with the living tree. His name's Jesus. So then He says, abide in Me. That word abide was interesting. Some translations say remain. In the Old Testament, they told a story about one of David's mighty men. And the army was fleeing. Everybody's running. And one of David's mighty men, he got to a certain patch of ground, his own pea patch. And he got to that patch of ground. He said, you know what? I'm not leaving. I'm going to stay planted here. And he won an amazing victory. You see, we were created to not run. We were created to stick with what God's put in our hearts. It's a beautiful thing. Whenever a human in connection with God, a human in connection with God has a piece of ground that they're responsible for and they make the decision, I'm staying here. And when they do, it releases the power of God into that situation. And things that have never been done are done. New creations, new inventions, new thoughts, new ideas. It's like having good soil that's going to grow whatever you put in it. Do you want to be good soil? Remain where God has put you. Remain. Abide there and believe Him. And then He says, He said, if you remain in me, you bear. That means you carry. You see, what you and I do, we don't create the fruit. We just carry it. The branches just carry it. It's the word for carrying. It's like, I bear you gifts. I bear you good tidings. I'm bringing those to you. I'm not the source of them. Like, I'm bringing them to you, like the worship team. They brought us into worship, but they weren't the source of worship. They're hooked, they're rooted, they're planted in the source. And it's Him. Guys, we were created to allow the power of God to work through us to bring life into our world. And that's who we are. And so you look at your results. If you're not having the results you want, those come from God. What do? You go back into relationship with God and say, God, what do I need to adjust in order to bear the fruit that you want me to bear? You know that weird fruit like peace, joy, happiness. Those wonderful things that we all are created to bear. You know, that's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you, guys. If you're unhappy, there's a reason you're unhappy. You probably got planted too deep in the dirt. My dirt's all clay. Every one of those blackberry bushes drowned. Every one of them. It was so sad. And I'm like, God, I didn't do that right, did I? I mean, He didn't say, yeah, you're just stupid. He didn't say that. I was like excited to find out what I'd done wrong. I was like, oh, good. I thought, now I can fix this. Let's plant them 2 inches deep. And y'all wait, next year I'm going to have a lot of blackberry bushes growing amazing blackberries. Okay, in 2 years. It takes 2 years to get blackberries. So that's why I said, if you're still here, you can come look at them. All right, fruit. Do you know He said you bear fruit? He didn't say what kind. Can we quit judging ourselves by the fruit we're bearing? Like, can you quit judging a hierarchy in the world by what fruit someone's bearing? Fruit is fruit. And God chooses the fruit that we bear. We don't. You don't. I don't. I wish I was this. I wish I was that. I should be this. You don't get to decide that. You're just bearing fruit, and all fruit comes from Him. So the person who has this little tiny garden that they grow in a pot and they're growing that and they're tending it and it's producing one plant and that's producing fruit, that's coming from God as much as the person who's feeding the nation with their farms. You see, God's in charge of fruit and He chooses what kind of fruit. And it's just fruit. He could have used a different term there. He could have said tomatoes. And then the only people actually in step with God are people who are laying tomatoes. Right? No. It's your fruits from Him. And you can be as proud of Him in you with one little tiny thing as somebody who has a multitude. It's what God is doing. So you bear fruit. But He says this, and this is really true. Guys, don't get tricked by this. I hear the enemy bring in logic and reasoning and say, having a lot of fruit doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Because God said, if you're with Him, you're going to bear a lot. You're going to have a bunch. You're going to have so much, you got to give it away. Now, I don't get to decide what the fruit is. I mean, most of us, we'd like that green fruit, you know, the paper kind, or gold would be better, right, in our economy. But the truth is, you may be having so much joy that you just can't help it. You just give it away to everybody. It was something like, you know, some of y'all's kids. They just give it away. They got too much. Guys, it's okay. But God created us to have a lot of it, to have a lot of it. And it's on purpose. And then He said this. I like this part. Because there is the last part. He says, for without me, you can do nothing. Now, you need to understand that. What that's referring to is you won't have the power to make something happen. That's when we get in that place where we try as hard as we can and we do it over and over and over and nothing's happening, and nothing's happening, and nothing's happening. Listen, without Him, we don't have the power. Good intentions don't amount to anything. Well, I want to be kind. I want to be patient. I want to have peace. I want to have joy. That doesn't matter what you want. What matters is how in relationship God directs you to come into the vine. You see, it's not you can't do anything. The truth is, it's not your worth. It doesn't define you. That's not what this is about. This is about the power of God working inside of you, moving in you and in me. And without Him, we can do nothing. God has a purpose and a destiny and a relationship for us. You know, when you look back at creation, you see this from the very, very beginning. When you start thinking about life and the gospel, it's like I think we've been deceived. We've been taught that you just have this instant one thing, and it's not about the growth and the progression. Do you know that this is God's plan? Like Adam and Eve, when He created them, go back and read in Genesis chapter 1. I looked it up, but I'm not going to go through it. But you can read about what happened before Adam and Eve were deceived by Satan. Before that happened, God said, look, I've created you in my image, right? I am. He did us. He made you. And He said, listen, He also created us male and female. Little, don't let the enemy deceive you about this. God created distinctions and differences, and they're good. It's important. And God started off that way. And then He said, listen, I've got this crazy world I created. See, we want to go back to the garden because we think everything was already done. No, we know it wasn't done because He said, He blessed them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. That means it wasn't subdued. Come on, get your minds with me on this. You have to agree with me on this because this is a scripture. God put us on a world that needed our input. We needed to manage this garden He's given us. And it's good for us. It's not a part of the curse. It's not part of anything. It's literally, this was God's plan. There's something that happens inside of you and me and inside of our children when they live a life where they're acting, they're doing, they see results, they get input, they adjust, they act, they do, they see the results, they get input, they adjust, da-da, 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 over and over and over and over. You put it on repeat, and it transforms your life because every time you go to God, there's a Spirit of God that comes inside of you and gives you power to do things you can't do on your own. And God created us to transform this world. So we were created for this. Even when you look in Genesis 2, it goes... I like that verse in the end of verse 5. No shrub had yet appeared on earth. No plant had yet sprung up. You know why? Because God hadn't sent rain on the earth. That's part of the reason. Then God said the other part. There was no man to work the ground. We were created to work the ground. The problems we face were our destiny. And we were created to overcome and bring the kingdom of God into those problems. You and I were created that way. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it because it needed taking care of. Just like raising children, you need to raise children. Then they do amazing things. And it's just over and over and over. But when you're raising kids, you know what you have to do, right? God, I see a problem here. You know, little Billy just walked up and slapped his mother in the face. That's a problem, God. What do I do? You adjust. Well, I thought you'd tell me to shoot him. No, you don't shoot your child. You adjust how you're raising your kid. And you adjust again, and you adjust again, and you adjust again. And every time you adjust, you're going back and having a relationship with God. Relationships and results. There's a pattern God set up in the world. And I love it. Because fruit doesn't reveal worth or value. Fruit doesn't reveal punishment. Fruit reveals relationship. Relationship. That's all it reveals. And you can't live life without a relationship with God. And you'll always lack power. You'll have great intentions. You'll have great wisdom. But you won't have power because the power comes from the Lord. Always. And I think a lot of times we make decisions without Him. And then we wonder why there's no power to fulfill our desires. Because we need His power. I like this. Relationship and results. Look at your results. Adjust. Repeat. It's literally the key to life. Look at your results. Adjust. And repeat. Is there anything like in the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl? Some of those families looked at what was happening and they made a good decision. They wouldn't survive living in Oklahoma. They were dying. They walked to California. And they got there and it was a land of plenty. You see, I believe that we were all created to live in that fruit. And so this morning, I remember hearing this song when I first heard it. I asked the worship team, woohoo! They're standing in the hallway. They can't hear me. Yeah, thank you, Dwayne. Would you go kick them one or two times? I want them to sing a song. I want them to sing a song because I believe this song, in essence, talks about what we're talking about. It really does. Yes, we're ready. Come on. Come on, girls and guys. James, you need a wig. No, you don't. Oh, Jesus, help us. I asked him to sing a song, and I think this song reveals the heart of God about the gospel. The song's called Surrounded, and I remember the first time I heard it here in worship, I was like, it was powerful. It really is the heart of the gospel. So let's all stand up, and I want us to, yeah, Jennifer, we're ready. I want us to sing this song. It's a real simple song. And just rest in the song as we're singing it. Rest in the words, and let God speak to you. Okay.